Birshut, Kahal Nikbad, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Aleph from its base, as you can see on the little paper here, says as follows: Ein Merazkin, Lo Yisasheleg, the Lo Yisaborod B'Shabbos. You can't crush ice, snow, hail on Shabbos, Bishvil Shiyozuvu Meimov, in order that the waters should flow, i.e. you shouldn't melt ice with your hands. You can put snow, hail, ice into a cup of wine, a cup of water, or into a bowl. She need not be apprehensive or concerned that he's doing something wrong. The Gemara tells us you can't crush ice with your hands, but you can put it inside a cup of water, a cup of wine. What is the issa of crushing ice on Shabbos? We have a machlokes rishonim. Got the three rishonim on the paper here. Shitas Rashi. Rashi says, why can't a person crush ice on Shabbos? Mishum de komoili b'Shabbos. He is creating something new on Shabbos. What's wrong with creating something new on Shabbos? The domi li melocha is similar to a melocha. It looks as if he's doing a melocha. Sheboi remayim halolu. He is creating these waters. According to Rashi, the issa of crushing ice on Shabbos is because of Moedit. He is creating something new, and Chazal didn't like the idea that a person should create something new because it looks like he is doing a melacha on Shabbos. According to Rashi, the whole issa of crushing ice, the whole issa of Moedit, is only if he does it with his own hands. If he does it, be a dying. But if it happens by itself, he hasn't created anything new. He has done it. Shaboy Remai Malon, he is creating it. So the whole issue of crushing ice on Shabbos, according to Rashi, is that could be a dime only if he does it be a dime. Other Rishonim, the Rashba, the Rambam, the Ran, they learn that the issue of crushing ice on Shabbos is nothing to do with Moilit. The issue is Gzeira Mishum Tchitas Peiros. We know that there are certain fruits that one is not allowed to squeeze on Shabbos. Why not? Because Shechita, Tovah's Dosh, there's an issa of threshing on Shabbos, and therefore it is utter to squeeze fruit on Shabbos, certain fruits. And because Chazal v'choshesh, that if we allow a person to crush ice on Shabbos and melt it, he might come to squeeze fruit which he's not allowed to squeeze min ha-Torah. So therefore they ask the person from crushing ice. Gzeiro shemo yischoit peiros. And they zog in the Rashba, Rambam and the Ram. Then we have a third shita, and this is a shita yechidah. This is Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch in the Sefer Truma says, takes it a step further. Not only is a person not allowed to crush ice with his hands, and according to Rashi, who says Moedit, and according to the Rishonim, who say Gzeiro Mishum Shechitas Peiros, it's only if you do it with your hands, because only if you crush with your hands, you might come to squeeze the fruit. But if you're not crushing with your hands, why would you come to squeeze fruits on Shabbos? And according to Rashi also, if you're creating it, you have to create it. So only if you do it be a dime. Only if you do it yourself. Rabbeinu Baruch takes it a step further. Rabbeinu Baruch says that not only if you crush ice yourself, but if you take a pashtida, if you take I think it's some sort of meatloaf with pastry, and it has in it sauce or fat which is congealed, and you want to melt the sauce which is congealed, so you want to put it next to the fire on Shabbos, says Rabbeinu Baruch, you cannot do that. Even though I am not melting the congealed fat with my hands, but seeing as I'm putting it next to the fire, that is also not allowed. Of course, we're talking aside from the issues of Bishul on Shabbos. For example, if a person has to put it next to the fire, he could put it a bit further away from the fire so that it shouldn't reach Yatzir Edes Boy. Or you could say, seeing as it's congealed, it's a yovish, it's a dry food which is already cooked, and the dover yovish ein bishul achar bishul, so there would not be a problem of putting it next to the fire. You will ask, I is going to melt, and as soon as it melts, it's already not a yovish, it's a lach. And by Dovah Lach, Yesh Bishlach HaBishul. So here we have a Machloikis, and our poiskim will hold that Vosom Mikorah Abinon. You look at the food as it is in the state when you put an extra fine. When you put an extra fine now, this is congealed, therefore it's a Dov Yovish, and Ein Bishlach Abishl but Dov Yovish. So we're talking aside from the Bishul issues. Either you put it away from the fire, or because Ein Bishlach Abishl, and aside from the issues of Chazor on Shabbos, of Mechzikim Avashel, you do it in a way that it won't look like you're cooking. You put it on top of another food, on top of a pot of cholent, or you put it on top of two containers, which is alright according to some poskim. Aside from those issues, there's another problem, says Rabbi Nevov. You cannot put this pashtida next to the fire. Why? Because you will be causing the fat to melt. And what's wrong with that? Well, the Gemara ain't the rask in a sasheli. You can't crush ice on Shabbos. I will ask, I'm not doing it with my hands, I'm not crushing this the sauce. All I'm doing is putting next to the fire. Says Rabbi Baruch, there's an issur of noilad b'shabbos. It's not moilid, it's not gzeir Hashem yitzchik peiros, it is an issur of noilad b'shabbos. Something that was born on Shabbos. This juice, this sauce, this liquid, was born on Shabbos. And therefore the issur is not to do the action, but the issur is that this sauce, this liquid that was noilad b'shabbos, is now mukta, because it's noilad. And noilad is mukta. As they zok Rabbi Yevori. Sorry? Moilid is Chazal came along with a new chashash. They were choshish that if a person creates something with his hands on Shabbos, it looks like he's doing a melacha. We know there's 39 melachas. We know there's 39 melachas. Major melachas. But Chazal says there's something here that looks like a melacha, even though it doesn't fit into any category of the one of the 39. But they said creating something new looks like a melacha. Moilid, creating something new, boiling my malala, looks like you're doing a melacha. And Chazal didn't want that. Noilad has nothing to do with what I am doing. I'm not doing anything. But something appeared, was born, was happened on Shabbos, was noilad, was born on Shabbos, mukta. You can't drink it. So therefore, you can't put this pashtidi, you can't put this meatloaf next to the fire, because the source that was created from this is now mukta. Hu adin, says the Ran, not only if you put it next to the fire, but hu adin if you put it in the sun. If you leave this congealed liquid to melt in the sun, it is also noilad. It may not be called doing anything via dying. So according to Rashi, and according to the other Rishonim, the Rashba, the Rambam and the Ran, there's nothing wrong. But according to Rabbi Nevoru, Sefer Truma, it is noilad on Shabbos. If so, if there's an issur of noilad on Shabbos, if there's a problem of noilad on Shabbos, how come, says the Gemara, I'm allowed to put ice in my drink on Shabbos? How can I put ice in my drink? There's no boilies, I'm not creating anything new. There's no gzeir Hashem yitzchak peiros, because I'm not crushing it. But it's noilad. The ice. Oh, so you're suggesting that if the noilad doesn't happen in its own and it's not noticed, it's not nikkur at all, maybe there's no noilad. That's one suggestion, chatting of any bottle. But there's another simple suggestion. Bittul. When I put the ice in, it melts, and it's bottle in the drink. Bottle in the drink. I will ask very simply, in order to be a bottle, a min v'she'en a minoy. That means if I put the water into, not into a cup of water, but I put it into Coke, it's min b'she'en minoy, and min b'she'en minoy means shishim. Where's my shishim? If I have a big piece of ice, I may not have shishim in the cup against the ice. So that will say, kama kama bottle, every drop of ice melts. It doesn't melt in one shot, it melts drop by drop. And every drop is bottle. As the drop falls into the, melts into the cup, it's bottle. I will ask, if it's bottle, every drop is bottled, but after a while there will be so many drops of a bottle that by the end, by the time the piece of ice has melted, there will now be less than shishim in the drink against the ice. And therefore, what's the problem? Choyzer v'neo. The issa has now reawakened. Every drop that melted was bottled, but when all the drops gather together, and together, the power of one, there's now less than shishim against this group of drops. And therefore it is Choyze V'Neil. The Issa now reignites, is awakened, and it should be after. There are poskim who hold that the Issa the Rabbonon, you don't say Choyze V'Neil. The Issa the Rabbonon, you say Kamekamekotil, and You don't say Choyze V'Neir. This is the right, so you say Kana Kana Botil, and then Choyze V'Neir. This is the Rabbanon, you won't say. So, that's Rabbeinu Bolva.
If it really water in the first place, before it became ice, like it was never water before.
The
original, going back to its original form.
It's two things, it's ice and
it's
water.
It's nothing more than dried up water.
Ice, you're right, in the beginning it was water. But ice is known as an entity in its own right. Ice is ice. There is such a thing called shelig, there is such a thing called snow, hail, ice. And you're changing, that ice is now changing into water. That's the Gemara. The Ramban, the Ram, the Rashba, up to and including the Ramah, and the Sud Rabbeinu Baruch, to mean Noilad. Very simply, as we explain Noilad. However, if we look at other Rishonim, for example, the Rosh, the Zeruah, and the Smag, they never understood the Sefer Truma Mitam Noilad. What are the last minutes whether we learn Noilad or Moili? So we said, can I do it via Dain? According to, can I do it? What's wrong if I don't do it via Dain? According to Rashi, only if you do it be a dime. According to Rabbeinu Baruch, says Noilad, even if it happens by itself. Another Nachimine, is it also Mishu Mukta? If I was Moilad on Shabbos, if I did do it, can I drink the water now? If it's Noilad, it's Mukta. If it's Moilad, it's not Mukta. So the Rosh, or Zeruah, and the Smag understood Rabbeinu Baruch just like Rashi. They never understood the Sefer Truma as meaning Noilad. They understood that the Sefer Truma simply means Moilad, just like Rashi. If so, how come Rabbeinu Baruch did not allow me to put it next to the fire? I am not doing with my hands. Those Rishonim understood that putting it next to the fire is also called doing with the Yadayim, because I put it next to the fire. So I am now creating it by putting it next to the fire. Nafkamini would be, if I wouldn't put something next to the fire, if I put something in its natural environment, for example, I take something out of the freezer and I put it at room temperature. So that might not be called doing with the Yadayim. If I put it next to the fire, so that's why Rabbeinu Baruch said, you shouldn't put it next to the fire. Because Bethany was learning like Rashi Mishu Moilid, not Mishu Noilad. But putting it next to the fire is like I'm doing it via Dan. The Mogen Avraham, the Zalman, and the Mishnah Berurah learned, Pshat in Rabbeinu Baruch, that if you did it via Dayim, then they acted the water Mishu Noilad, and it becomes an Ufta. But if you didn't do it via Dayim, not. So we have three different Pshatim in Rabbeinu Baruch in the Sefer Truma. However, the Meister, the Ramah, learned Rabbeinu Baruch simply, as we said in the beginning, Mishum Noilad, and even if you didn't do anything via Dayim, it's Oser and it becomes Mukta. If you take, according to Rabbeinu Baruch, the way the Ramah understands it, if you would take something frozen from the freezer and put it in room temperature, you would not allow to eat that on Shabbos, Mishum Mukta. That's how the Ramah understood. So if we go Halacha LaMeister, and again, I'm not trying to pass it, it's only like Bukhari Hadiro, Halach Lamait, everyone should ask their poisek. The Machaber says, in Shin Yudchet, Seif Tezayin, that Mutter Litin Infanada, you're allowed to put this meatloaf, Keneged O'esh, you're allowed to put it next to the fire. Clearly, the Machaber is not passing like Rabbeinu Baruch. You're allowed to put it next to the fire. Why? Because I'm not doing it to Yadayim, I'm not doing it with my hands. Rabbeinu Baruch, the Machaber disregards Rabbeinu Baruch, disregards the Sefer Truma. You're allowed to put it next to fire. Who has it? You can take something frozen out of the freezer and let it defrost on Shabbos. That's take the honey if you need it on Shabbos. If you do it for after Shabbos, it's a problem. The Mechaber disregards Rabbeinu Baruch. Who has it? In Simin Shinchot, Seif Tet, the Mechaber paskens that a person cannot crush ice, cannot crush snow, cannot crush hail with his hands, but he's allowed to put it into a cup. He's allowed to put it into a cup. And says the Mechaber, he's allowed to put the ice in the sun, and he's allowed to put the ice next to the fire. Again, in two places, the Mechaber clearly passes not like Rabbeinu Baruch. So, as far as any side is concerned, he's safe if he lets something defrost on Shabbos. The Ramah comes along and says, and this is Nagat to the Ashkenazim, Yesh Machmirim, there are those who are Machmir not to put a Pashtida next to the fire and not to put it in the sun. Not just there are machmirim, but the minig is to be machmir, says the Ramah. However, he doesn't ask them the liquid. He doesn't say the liquid is osa, it's mukta. Lechatchila is choshesh for Rabbeinu Baruch, you shouldn't do it. But he doesn't say that the liquid becomes osa like Rabbeinu Baruch did. And more than that, the Ramah says that the mokem atzorech, yeish shulitzmoich Asvara Rishon. But Makom HaTorach, you can well rely on other shittas, that only if you did it b'yadayim, only if you crushed it with your hands, because of Moilid, or because of the Zerush and Yitzchak Peiros, for Makom HaTorach. So, Lechatchila, you should be Machmeh for Rabbein Baruch, it won't become Osa like Rabbein Baruch, says Tata, and for Makom HaTorach, you can be Tomech on the Asvara Rishon. So if you look at it practically, person wants to crush ice, he can't crush ice. An example which I was thinking, which may be well applicable, is the children. We give them ice pops on Shabbos, and if they're eating it, they're eating it. But sometimes what they like to do is they like to crush it. They crush it and make it into a liquid. So I would say that we should tell them not to do it, because they're mamish, they're crushing the ice pop via dime and turning it into a liquid. I would say they're eating. What they're doing, they're eating. It's just a form of eating. But if they're doing it via dime, if they're crushing it, I think so. But if they're doing it via dime, then they're crushing. Ain't erratic. Ain't erratic hell. That's the din of the Gemara. That's the Gemara. Gemara says you can't. What about not putting it into the drink? The Gemara talks about two cases. You shouldn't crush ice, but you're allowed to put it in your drink. What happens if I don't put it in my drink? What happens if I crush it in my drink? What happens if I crush the ice in my drink? So the Chayyus Moedah, I'm doing it via dime. It's Gzedi Shemi Yitzchak Peiris. If I crush ice, I make them squeeze Peiris. So here, coming back to what you said beforehand, the Azmachalikta poison. Some poison said that the Gzeira of crushing ice was never said inside something else when it's not nicker. It was only said when it's nicker, when you crush it by itself, and then you drink it, then it's Osir to do. But if you crush it inside another drink, then there's no Issa. That's what some poison say. Other poison say no. Seeing as you're not allowed to crush ice, you're only allowed to put it into a cup. I've always seen who the Tariqa poison. Sikkum Maduk in the Gemara. The Gemara says, no sin in the Tech, because you can put it into a cup. It doesn't say you can crush it inside a drink. So other places say you can't crush inside a drink. But this lends us to ask, we know Minig Olam is to put sugar in a drink, to put coffee in a drink, and to stir. How can we stir sugar in a drink? When we stir sugar in a drink, we are essentially melting the sugar into the drink. So according to those poskim who say you can't crush ice in the drink, I'm melting the sugar in the drink. I'm melting the coffee into the drink. So I saw brought down in the name of the Pachad Yitzchok. I'm not sure who he was. Pachad Yitzchok Lamperonti, he was in the Kadmoyim. And he said that sugar, these things, don't melt. They disintegrate into small particles. So they don't melt, they disintegrate into small particles. So I asked somebody, if they only disintegrate into small particles and don't melt, why can't I see them in my tea? So apparently, from what I understand, is that the particles are so small that they fit into the air spaces within the water. But they don't melt, they disintegrate. They don't melt, they disintegrate. And therefore, that's why we stir our sugar in our drinks and we stir the coffee into the drink. To go a bit further, you're allowed to put ice into a drink. Why are you allowed to put ice into a drink? That's also din of Gemara. You can put ice into your drink, either because, according to Rashi, according to other Rishonim, because you're not doing anything via dayim, and according to Rabbi Baruch, we said either because it's not nikah, or we said because it's a bottle. What about putting something into next to fire? Also we said, as Sfaradi, no problem whatsoever, the Mechabit is regarded as Rabbein Baruch, therefore you can put a Pashtida next to the fire, and Ashkenazi Lechatchila should not put something next to the fire or in a sanctity frost. However, B'mokam HaTorach, it is Mutter. Now I was thinking, my children have this minig, and when we give them ice cream on Shabbos for dessert, so they don't like just to eat ice cream, they like to take the spoons and they like to mush it, until it becomes into some sort of liquid form, and this is their favourite pastime, because they take two, three different types of ice cream and they mix it, it changes colour, and it's very fascinating, interesting, it keeps them busy and makes a big mess. However, the shayla is, l'chayla, they're being merastic ice cream. So I should tell them not to do it. But I was thinking that the Shlomo Zalman said it's svara by milk. Defrosting milk. Can I take milk out of my freezer on Shabbos? So if you're going with Rabbein Baruch, so it could be that I'm not allowed to take milk out of the freezer on Shabbos. So b'mokam HaTorach, no problem. But if you're going to mitam noilad, so it's turned now, by taking it out of the freezer, it has now turned into into iniquity, so maybe I shouldn't do it. So Rav Shlomo Zalman has a svara to say that it's not noilad. Noilad is when something is born. I've got ice, and now water came out of it. However, with milk, it's not called anything else. It's still called the same milk when it's frozen. Also, so it's milk. Mikara milk, vahashta milk. So milk is milk. So I think it could well be the same thing with ice cream. Mikara ice cream, vahashta ice cream. They haven't really, there's not really any noilad here, and there's not really any moilad here. They haven't been boiled or anything new. So maybe there's no problem whatsoever. If they squeeze the ice cream, maybe they will come to squeeze payros. And that I would say also, when it's a fruit and you make it into a mashke, that's a schita, to take out the juice from the fruit. But here they're taking ice cream out of ice cream, and therefore there would be no zeri shem yisrit payros. Sorry? Oh, but now it's ice.
In English,
yeah, but it's ice. But now it's ice. It's ice. It's not water. It's not water. It's ice. It's a different entity. It's not the name after that. Milk. People don't eat frozen milk. Ice has all sorts of uses. Ice is usually just ice. So it has an entity of its own. Milk has no right of existence if it's frozen. Because nobody does anything with frozen milk. It's frozen because you want to store it like that. Sorry? Yeah. It's not be a dime. Okay. I'm using the same svara. We're using the same svara for noilad as for moilad and for shem yisrael. So we're using the same svara to say that it's nothing. There's no moilad. There's no boilad. There's no creation here. And there's no shem yisrael. Sorry. Depends when it falls. So the mokum has toy. The mechabit is machmir chatzila for Rabbi Boru. The remot is machmir chatzila for Rabbi Boru. But the mokum has toy. The mokum has toy. He says yeshlis mechasvora.
Why? I'm not clear. Why do Rashi and Rashi say it's
not? Sorry.
Why do Rashi and Rashi say?
They're not choishish for noilad. They said there's no noilad. Why not? Maybe on Shabbos there's no noilad, or this type of noilad is not. They're not choishish for this noilad on Shabbos.
Isn't it? Because it was water in the first place.
If, otherwise, so why is there Moses? So why did they say there's Moses? So why did they say there's Moses? Yeah.
Maybe the Rashba, the Rashba and the Rambam, maybe.
We'll say Shem Yitzchak, maybe. Maybe. Svirach Ta'ima. This to Inyana de Yoima. The Gemara in Brochet tells us an interesting story in Brochet Ta'ima and Beis. Rapunah had 400 barrels of wine. And unfortunately, the barrels of wine soured and they turned into vinegar. And the Chachomim came to visit him. And they said to him, look, you should really examine your affairs. You should make a cheshbon of your business affairs. Maybe something caused this to happen. So he said, well, have you heard anything? Does anybody tell you anything? I've done something wrong with my business affairs. And they said, yes, actually, we have heard. Going around that you didn't give the branches to your sharecropper. Because the halacha says that not only do you have to give the sharecropper a chelek, a part of the grapes, a part of the wine, but you also have to give him a part of those branches that have been taken down, that had been broken. So he said, I should give my sharecropper part of the branches. He stole them all. He's got them all. What do I have to give him anything? He stole them all. I didn't give him anything because he took them all. He said, even so, that's not your cheshbon. That's not your cheshbon. So he said, alright, I accept, you're right. I'll give him a chelik, I'll give him branches. And the Gemara says to the Shoinah, according to one Lashon, a miracle happened, and the vinegar turned into wine. And according to another Lashon, the price of vinegar rose so high that it was worth the same as wine. What do we want from this story? Uspaltem lochem mi mochras ha-shabbos mi yoyim aviachem es oymer ha-tnufo sheva shabbos etzmino. Till when do we count? Till Kabbalah HaTorah, the Chinuch says that the idea of Sfirat HaOymer is to be, to make a bridge, to make a connection between the Korban Oymer and Kabbalah HaTorah. What is the idea of the Korban Oymer? Korban Oymer, the Torah tells us, when a person reaps the new harvest of the year, he's not allowed to eat, not bread, and not roasted kernels, and not plump kernels, and he can't eat anything until he brings one Oymer, the first, from the first harvest to the Rabboni Shalom. He waves it before the Rabboni Shalom, and then, no problem, he can eat anything he wants. Why, says the Chinuch, what's the idea of the Korban Oymer? Why can we not eat anything until we have waved the Korban Oymer in front of the Rabboni Shloim? In order to teach us, in order to train us, that in spite of our hard work, and in spite of the fact that we toiled hard, nothing will happen without the Rabboni Shloim. we are totally in his hands. And by this way, we show appreciation that everything that we do is not really ours. He has given it to us, and our sustenance comes from the Rebbeinu Shalom. This is actually a message. The message says, Omar the Bianai, the Noyig Sheba Oilom, Odom Lokiach Litra Achat Shoboto, Miashuk, Kame Yegio Yisu Yogea, Kamotar Mitzayel, Adshe Vishloi. And, it's Hashemi Abrius Yishenim Amu Tuseyem, the steeple night. Zakosh Boch, Umashiv Oruchos, Umale Anonim, Umegadol Smochim, Umedashen Et Aperos. And what do we give him? Ve'enois Niloi Elos, Char Ve'oimer. Hadol Diktiv, Ve'eveitem Et Oimer, Reishis Ketichem En Hakoyim. And there's another medrash that continues and says, Omer Ablevi, Harei Shechorashto, Ve'zorato, Ve'odashto, Ve'kosato, Ve'kosato, Ve'amarto, Ve'dashto, Ve'osisotu Abagonim. All these things that we do, our hard work and our toil. But, אם אין הקדוש ברוך הוא מויצי לכם מעט רוח שתזרה מהיכן אתה חי. There's one thing missing, a little bit of wind, because without that little bit of wind, it's all pointless. So, it's all from the Rebbeinu Shalom, it's not the little bit of wind, nothing would be here, we wouldn't be alive. And therefore, says the Medrash Hari, אין אתה נויסן לאי אלוף חרוח, all we're doing him is thanking him for the little bit of wind that he gives us. That's the idea of Korban Omer. The idea being that even though Teva, nature, and man and nature work together hand in hand, it is not us, it is not nature, it's all a nature from the Rebbeinu Shalom, it's not for the Ruach, nothing would happen. And we know that one grain gives us 300 stalks, and 300 stalks are 30 grains each, which ends up to be 9,000 grains. So from one grain you end up with 9,000 grains. That's also nature, but we don't usually see it. We know that there was dams, sardeya, kinim, that's an ace. But the fact that something grows from the ground, we don't usually see it as an ace. So the idea of Korban Omer is to show, for us to internalize and to realize that everything, our lives and our substance, is also the same ace as an ace of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Which is why Be'etzem Chinuch says that we should really bring the Korban Omer on Pesach, on the first day of Pesach. But because of the Im'alvim, Simcha V'Simcha, we wait till a day later, Svartim Lachem, Mimochor Atah Shabbos, the day after Pesach. That is the based on the Midrash. The Gemara tells us in Ksubas that a pauper came to Rava and to eat. So Rava said to him, we know day machzor. So Rava said to him, well, what are you accustomed to dine on? What is your usual food? So he says, well, I'm accustomed to dine on fattened hen and aged wine. So Rava said to him, are you not concerned that you're imposing a burden, imposing a hardship on the Kehillah if you decide that you want to eat fattened hens and aged wine, you're going to become a burden on the Kehillah. So the pauper says, am I eating their food? Is it their food I'm eating? I'm eating the Rebbeinu Shalom's food. I'm not a burden on the Kehillah. Maybe I'm a burden on the Rebbeinu Shalom. It's his food, not theirs. And as he said this, Robert's sister came to visit him. She hadn't seen him in 13 years, and she came to visit. And what did she bring? She bought a fattened hen and aged wine. So this pauper has internalized this lesson that he's not eating from the killer. It's nothing to do with him and nothing to do with anybody else. And all his hard work is also nothing to do with him. If not for the little bit of wind of the Rebbeinu Shalom, it's all in the hands of the Rebbeinu Shalom. What is the idea of connecting between Korban Omer and Kabbalat HaTorah? If we internalize, and these days are there that we should educate ourselves, and we educate ourselves slowly but surely over a period of 49 days, step by step, we climb up, and we try and realize that we're totally in the hands of the Rebbeinu Shalom. Teva is all innate, and if not the Rebbeinu Shalom, we wouldn't exist. And thereby, once we realize that we are totally in the hands of the Rebbeinu Shalom, then we realize that we will more readily accept his yoke, we will readily be mekabel its HaTorah with a much more open view and a much more open mind. Then we'll be ready, Mitzvah Hashem, for Kabbalah HaTorah, and Bias, they will tell you, be in Haley, Amen.